can't you tell us how you passed over? You know how you found yourself.
Oh, I died.
Can you tell us how you found yourself, your reactions on finding yourself so
Oh, I was sitting in my chair. I was sitting in my chair, you know, yes. And I was reading the newspaper, which had just come, you know.
Yeah.
And I felt a bit sort of odd, like, you know. And I thought, well, it's funny. I took my specs off, you know, put them on the table, thought, well, just sit quiet for a minute and pass off, you know. Yeah. But next thing I knew was that I was sitting there, but I wasn't there. I wasn't. I was sort of standing, so it seemed to me, standing by the chair, looking at myself. And there was a newspaper on the table and my glasses, and I thought, this is odd, very strange, you know. I couldn't make head or tail of this at all. And then I was conscious of the fact that there was someone knocking at the door. Don't know how. It was funny that I was standing there, sort of looking at myself, sitting in the chair, and yet it was as if I could hear this knocking at the door. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, almost in a minute, second, I was able to see it was knocking at the door, yet I was still standing in the room. And it was my sister. And she lived a few doors down the road, you know. I thought, oh dear, what am I going to do? I can't open the door, I don't think. In any case, it's, you know, I was in a proper sort of panic. And anyway, what must have been only a few minutes, she came back with a policeman. And eventually, the policeman got into the window. And he came into the room, and I recognised him. I'd seen him many a time on a beat. It was, well, time before I could understand what was going on. Anyway, he shook me, thought I was asleep, you see, same as I did. Nothing. And then he happened, you know, and he realised I was dead, and he opened the door, of course. And my sister came in, she was in a proper state, I tell you. Of course, that was all I had left, was my sister at that time, May. And, anyway, they went for a doctor, of course. Old Dr. Foskett, he came, you know, but he was no bloody good anyway. I mean, he couldn't do anything for me. I mean, it was obvious then. I realised myself that I'd had it. But I was trying to sort of calm down my sister, and she didn't take notice of me. I went and stood and, you know, sort of put my hand on her shoulder and tried to tell her I was all right. It was not me that was there. I was standing beside her, and she probably didn't seem to cotton on at all the fact that it was me at all. You know, she just sat there in proper state she was in. Anyway, and then the doctor, he went, and then they came and they took my body away, you see. Slumped it down like a whole sack of potatoes, and I thought, well, I'm not going after that. I'm going to stay here in my home. I might as well sit down in my chair now. It's empty. So I sat down there and tried to think it all out. Anyway, my sister, by this time, she'd gone off, and I was alone in the house again. And all of a sudden, it was just as if the fireplace disappeared, so anyway, I can put it. And there in where the fireplace was, it was as if the wall had disappeared, and I could see beautiful green fields and trees and a little sort of, well, I wouldn't say it was a river, it was more like a little brook. And I could see something. Something, I first didn't know what it was, coming up towards me in the distance, and I made it out. It was a figure. It was my mother. Dear, oh dear. She looked, oh, as I'd seen her in the picture, which I'd still got in the room hanging up on the wall, as a matter of fact. My mother, when she was first married, she came right up what was the fireplace towards me, and she was smiling all over her face, and she was as happy as a sandboy. She says, come on, she says, you don't want to stay here. It's no good you sitting here. No one's going to take any notice of you. May won't realise, you know, you have to come and be with me, you see. So, anyway, I went with my mother, and it was funny. Going through this, what had been my fireplace, and into this lovely sort of countryside. We are all the product, as it were, of our own creative thought, no more and no less. But of course, the more highly evolved soul, that is why I say to you, if you have said and you have this realization of the inner power, the inner soul vibrational force which can manifest itself and in so doing alter and change the circumstances even in which you exist and live and work. So it is that this can apply in a material sense on your side. In other words, it can change the circumstances of life even. People do not realize when people from your world say, oh, this is not good for me, why do these things not change and so on? They do not realize that they have the power within themselves to alter the very circumstances and conditions of their life. It is within themselves this power to change, but until they realize this power, there will be no change. Because you can change not only your own way of thought and life, but also those near and dear to you. Of course, they also must have the desire for change, and they also must make the cooperation. But it is there, within all human life, there is the power to change, to be different, to alter, to become different in the sense that one becomes more spiritually aware and conscious. And many of the drawbacks and the complications of material existence will in consequence fade. All depends on the individual thought process.
You crossed over. How did you find yourself? I thought you were...
Fortunately for me, I had traveled many times from the earth body into the spheres. I had entered into certain vibrationary rates of being and was conversant with various souls who had been here, some for centuries. It was not difficult for me. When the time came and I realized that I was drawing near to leaving the body for good, it was simple for me to release myself completely from the body. There was no pain, no suffering, there was no illness with me, because I knew how to release myself finally at the end without any of the conditions which so often appear with so many people. Disease is a thought force which is very prevalent in your world because man himself has a diseased mind. When man ceases to think in a diseased way, you see, he will change. He will become healthy. When man thinks healthy thoughts, when he thinks spiritual thoughts, all from him will disappear. All the ailments of the earth, all the infirmities of the condition of earth, all these things which you suffer from are what man has created. Something which in your world is taboo. People are afraid to mention the word. They do not like to think about it. They run away from it. It is something they are afraid of because they know deep down in their hearts that it is a reality that they must face eventually. And they are afraid of it because they are knowing in themselves they are not fully prepared for it. They know so little about it and they are afraid to find out. Fear dominates the hearts and minds of men. And we know that unless something is done about this, before it is too late, the disastrous consequences are so tremendous that one hardly dare think about it. Today, your world stands on the bridge, as it were, of destruction. Any time that bridge, which in itself is so unreliable that it is doubtful if it will sustain the weight that is placed upon it, because man himself, unconsciously and in some ways consciously, has brought into being such a condition of confusion, such a condition of hatred, of intolerance. We on this side for a long time have striven to build between our world and yours a bridge whereby man could climb to heights and find that peace which your world could not give. We know that it is only in this truth, only in this realization of communication between the so-called dead and the living, there lies the salvation of your world. All history repeats itself. History shows the very foundation of man's happiness is in the knowledge and the realization of the life that is to come. The earth life is but the training ground.
It is but a school in which man must learn the lesson, which will in consequence give him the opportunity to inherit the kingdom of the living Father. Why is it today there is so much fear in your world? Because man has not learned the path. There is only one real path. It is the path of the Spirit. And there are few people who follow that path. There are some who profess it. There are some who endeavor it. But there are few who succeed on it. Because they cannot forget themselves. The first lesson one must learn is to forget oneself. To give out in love all that it is possible from within yourself. And it shall be returned to you. These things that Christ spoke about, and all the great teachers, all the great philosophers down through the ages, was that man himself should forget himself, that he in return might find himself. When you lose yourself in a sea of love, then indeed do you find that you lap again the shores. It is as if you cast yourself into the cleansing power of the eternal sea of love, and you do not become drowned, but you become, as it were, lifted up, buoyed up by it, and you are carried by it, and in consequence your work then begins, and many are sure you may be cast upon, and you will enable others to find that which you have found.
I can only say this to you, to all those who may listen. There is no need to fear the crossing from your world to this. It is the great adventure. It is the great awakening into a greater world of loveliness and beauty and freedom of thought. Truly this is a spiritual world, but not as man has depicted it. Indeed it is so, so different. And so tremendously alive, so vital, so tremendously, as it were, so far removed from man's conception of things, that it cannot be depicted or described. One can only feel it and know it and sense it. It is so vast and so beautiful. Do not fear that passing from your world to this. For whatever condition of life you may enter, no matter how lowly it may be, it will be a reflection of your world, but according to its condition, and according to your condition of passing, and particularly according to your development or lack of it, so you will find a condition that will apply to you and be best suited. And even though it may seem, perhaps to some, dark and drear according to their light, yet there is freedom to express and develop and evolve. Over here, a spiritual life is a life of complete and absolute freedom in which you are able to assimilate all experience and knowledge. Great teachers from other spheres enter the lower spheres to advise and to guide and to uplift. Here there is complete unity and harmony and love. Here there is truly brotherhood. Here there is the wisdom of all time, expressed in all manner of ways by all manner of peoples, irrespective of any earthly idea of class or creed or color. I would say that what holds humanity back in your world is this unfortunate clinging to old ideas and old ideals, clinging to outworn creeds and religions, clinging to the barriers built up by class, built up by ignorance, and peoples that are held apart from one country to another because of patriotism and all the false ideals. We want to break down all the barriers that have kept men apart. We want to bring a new realization of God's love and purpose and give you some glimpse of what truly a spiritual life is. My blessings to all.
Thank you.
And to you both in particular.
Thank you, Mr. Terry.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Very, very much.
Bless you. That lovely talk.
That lovely, was beautiful.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, love.
Thank you, Mickey.